Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather here on this day to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good to see you all here this morning. Just a few announcements to share this week. Tuesday, Vacation Bible School. We are planning to have a wonderful time, planning to be here with many of the youngsters here, a lot of the youngsters in the community. So please, if you don't have anything else to do, come out. If you want to help out, that would be good too. But we will be here from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. for our Vacation Bible School. We next Friday, we will also have our movie night. We had a movie night on Friday. We did have some problems with the sound system, but we will have that resolved. And so please be out with us on Friday, July the 28th, 8 p.m. For our movie night. Had a good little number of people who came out, so we hope to more people will come out this Friday for that. And again, it's a wonderful time for fellowship and to enjoy a movie together. Other things will be going on in the course of the summer. Please check your bulletin as well as go to our church website to stay abreast of all that is happening here at Alney Presbyterian Church. Just want to take a moment this morning to welcome Barbara Smelter, who is playing our piano this morning. Marjorie and is in Lador this week, so we want to continue to pray for her, but give thanks for Barbara Smelter. Me and Barbara go back a little ways, but a good couple of years, okay. But good to have her here this morning.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Great. Our scripture reading this morning, epistle reading, comes from Book of the Romans. We'll be reading from chapter 8 of the Book of Romans, beginning at verse 18 and reading through 25. So let us listen to God's word for us. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be reading from the 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel and reading through from verse 24 through verse 30. So let us listen to God's word again for us. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field, but while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. And the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
Amen. It's another one of Jesus' parables. Those short stories, again, that Jesus often told to bring home a point. Usually about the kingdom of God, God's coming kingdom, what God's coming kingdom is like. But the whole point of the Gospels was often to, again, tell us something about the kingdom of God, something that would disorient, disrupt our thinking so that we could see clearer, so that we could see better, so that we could see something about God and how God moves and operates, and see something about God's kingdom. Last week, Jesus told the parable of the sower. The parable of a sower who goes out and sows seed on all kinds of ground, and some of it is able to grow and some of it isn't able to grow, but he told that agricultural parable about the sower. And this week he tells another parable, an agricultural parable. This week he tells a parable about a sower who goes and sows wheat in his field. But then we're told an enemy comes and sows among the wheat weeds, or tares, as they were called. I'm sure all of us have had some struggle with weeds. If you've tried to maintain a lawn or done some gardening yourself, you know that one of the battles is a battle with the weeds. Weeds have no value in and of themselves. They're terribly obnoxious plants. They sometimes are poisonous, but the only thing that they're really good for is usually choking out more of the desirable plants. But that's what has happened. An enemy has come and he has sowed weeds into the field where wheat has been sown. And this is a terribly insidious enemy in our parable this morning, because this enemy has not only sowed weeds, but he's sowed a certain kind of weed. He has sowed tares. And the thing about tares was that they looked just like wheat in the initial stages of their growth. It was hard to tell the tares from the wheat when they started growing in their initial stages. So it was difficult for someone to be able to identify the tares from the wheat. And by the time you are able to make the identification, the things about tares is that their roots would get under the roots of the weed and entangle themselves with the roots of the wheat. So it made it terribly difficult to be able to uproot it. So when the field hands come back and say to the sower, to the master of the garden, and says, "Hey, do you want us to uproot the weeds?" The master says, "No, let it grow together. Let the wheat and the tares grow together. And then at the harvest time, we will harvest both the wheat and the weeds. And then we will make the separation, separating the wheat from the tares." I think many of us this morning are probably like the field hands, tear it out kind of people. When we see something that we believe is evil or something that we believe is bad, our first impulse is to want to get rid of it, to tear it out, to uproot it before it contaminates the whole community. At least I know that's the way I am sometimes. Whenever I see something that's bad, I want to get rid of it, tear it out. I think that's the way our whole culture is. It's the way we've perhaps always been. I was reading something about Puritans one time. The Puritans, some of the initial settlers who came to this country, they were trying to set up and establish a pure community, and so they were less than tolerant about things that they saw as a threat to the community, and so they wanted to tear it out. And we're still like that in our society as well. We want to get rid of the things that we believe are evil and bad. We've all experienced people who said something in our culture today. Maybe somebody makes a statement. Maybe they say something that is racist or sexist or whatever. And we want to get rid of them and tear them out, separate them from the rest of the community. I was watching on social media You know, it's been the trend for people to record everything. And one of the things that people often likes to record are the what they call Karens, or people who act out in public. They do something in public. They go in somewhere and they do something that's mean-spirited or whatever it may be, and they're filmed. And you get to show them at their worst moments all over the internet. And what we hope that will happen is that they will lose their job or something will happen to them. But that's the whole point. Whenever we see something that we believe is a threat, something we don't like, something that's bad and evil, we want to get rid of it. Uproot it. Separate it from the rest of us. Tear it out. But our parable this morning, I think, cautions us in two directions. One is that it cautions us all to be humble. It cautions humility. And let's face it, humility is not always easy. It's not easy for any of us, especially if we've been trained to see the world in a certain way or to look at the world in a certain way, especially if we've been trained to believe that we're righteous, that we know the right way. It's kind of hard for us to be humble. Sometimes I'm ashamed to say that many of us religious people are those who have the least amounts of humility, because we believe that we are right. But our parable this morning cautions us to be humble, to be practice humility, because in part sometimes we can't always make a distinction between the wheat and the tares. My mother has a small flower garden in her front yard that she likes to get out and work in, and she lives on the corner house, so she has a patch in the front yard that she's turned into a garden, and it's most of the flowers are, you know, really, you know, pretty beautiful, whatever, nice flowers. But a couple of years ago when I was there visiting, I pulled up in the driveway, and I noticed that there right at the beginning of the driveway was a great big plant that to me looked like a weed. It was a big unsightly looking thing, so I, you know, uprooted it. Tore it out. Only a couple of hours later to hear my mother shriek when she pulled up from coming back from somewhere, and she said, you know, somebody pulled up that flower in the front yard. And I had to admit it was me, because I was the only one around that would do it. And but it was some kind of plant that she told me about, some kind of flower that was still in its blooming process, but to me, it just looked like a weed. But it reminded me that I am not always competent enough to be able to discern what might be a valuable plant and what might be a weed. Sometimes I do that with people too. Now, there are some people that you might look at and you say, that's a weed. I remember one of the churches in Atlanta that I was at, someone came into the church, and I was convinced that they were a weed. That person's a weed, so we might as well get rid of him. Might as well uproot him now. He's a weed. I can tell by the way he dresses. I can tell by the mannerisms. He's a weed. But he ended up being, you know, one of the most faithful Christians in the midst of our congregation. One of the most faithful people in regards to doing the work that we thought was important to do. But I'd identified him as a weed. Sometimes we identify people as weeds, and they may be wheat, and sometimes we think people are weed and they may turn out to be the most dangerous weed, but we're not always in the position to be able to discern that. We don't always have the right perspective, and so we all need a little bit of humility. Most of us, I think, at least I do, I like things to be clear and easily discernible. You know, I want the good to be on this side and the bad to be on this side so that I know where things are. As long as I know where things are, I know where I can situate myself. And so I want things to be clear and divided, you know, good on this side and evil on this side. And that's the way we live our lives sometimes. We want all the bad stuff over here and all the good stuff over there. And we identify the world that way. You know, all the crime is over here. All the drugs are over here. The bad side of town is over here. The bad people are over here. And so we you know, can better situate ourselves. We won't go over here on this side of town. And, you know, we want things to be clearly delineated. But in reality, life is much more ambiguous than that. In reality, good and bad are often intermingled. They often grow together, whether we care to acknowledge that or not, including inside of our own hearts. Good and bad are often there in our own hearts. Our own hearts are often filled with both wheat and tares. We all have those impulses where we can do bad things and those impulses where we can do good things. Reminded of that old Cherokee story, it says there's two wolves inside of all of our hearts. One wolf is the wolf of greed and evil, and the other is one of joy, and the one that emerges is the one that we care to feed. Mr. Rogers, I know some of you listen to Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers said once, you know, in one of his programs that, have you ever noticed that the very same people who are bad sometimes are the very same people who are good? And it's true, because the wheat and the tares often grow together. They often grow together inside of our own hearts. It's been the trend lately in television, I think, to show, you know, television characters in all of their humanity. One of the television series a couple of years ago, something called Breaking Bad. I don't know if any of you ever watched it, but the chief character was a school teacher by day, a humble school teacher teaching kids, and you can get almost nothing more wholesome than a school teacher. But he also ended up being a drug dealer and a murderer and a person who did all this bad stuff, the same person. But both of those wolves are inside of all of our hearts. They grow up together. And we're reminded that in God's garden, both the wheat and the tares grow up together. And so we are called to have some humility. The second thing we're called to, that this parable calls us to, is patience. You know, I recognize that many of us Americans are not very good with patience, maybe because we're not very good with humility. But this parable calls us to have some patience. You know, we often want to be able to fix things, and we often want to be able to fix them now. And when we can't fix them, we sometimes get impatient. We want to be able to fix problems. We want to be able to fix people. You know, if we could just fix people, people have all kinds of problems, and we want to be able to fix them. We want to be able to separate the wheat and the tares in their own lives. But sometimes what that requires, often what it requires, is patience. I had a friend of mine in seminary once, and when I was in seminary, and I remember running into him a year or two later after we had graduated from seminary, and he had received a call before I did, and ran into him a year later, and I was asking him how things were going, and he said, well, I'm no longer a pastor. And I said, why? You know, and he said, parish life is not for me. And I said, why? And he said, well, people. he said, people, I went to church, and as a pastor, I had all of these wonderful ideas and all of these wonderful visions, and I still have those wonderful visions, but people. I said, yeah, well, you know, yeah, people. The world would be a wonderful place except for the people. But we are called to have patience, because we can't fix things the way we might want to be able to fix things. I know some of us, you know, some of us have big goals and we want to be able to fix the world. Sometimes I hear people and they have these wonderful ideas about what they want to do, these wonderful missions that they want to be able to undertake, and all of these wonderful goals. I was listening to someone the other day, and they wanted to, you know, stamp out racism. That's what they're going to do. They're going to stamp out racism by 2030. It's a wonderful, wonderful goal, but, you know, I don't think you're going to stamp out racism by 2030. Or someone said, we're going to stamp out poverty. We can just stamp out poverty. We can do that. We have more than enough resources. We can stamp out poverty. And that's, a wonderful goal. The problem is sometimes, and these are wonderful goals, and we should be working to do all of that, but the problem is that sometimes we get impatient, and when we become impatient, we end up causing more harm than good. I remember when I was in college, the big thing was, you know, drugs. We were going to get rid of drugs. We were going to declare war on drugs and deal with drugs and get tough with drugs. And we did. We declared war on drugs. But we end up doing something much worse. We end up locking up a significant portion of our population, so that many of our jails and prisons are overflowing with young men who's usually had committed a nonviolent offense of selling drugs, but in our impatience to do something, we made the problem even worse. And many of us, of course, remember, you know, prohibition. You know, we were going to do something about demon rum and get rid of alcohol. And again, in our zeal and rush to do something, we made the problem even worse. And that's what we human beings do sometimes. We have this zeal to be holy. We have this zeal for purity. We have this zeal to get rid of evil, however that evil might manifest itself. And in our zeal, we sometimes make the matter worse. But we were called to have patience, because in God's garden, the wheat and the tares grow together. I think God calls us to have patience because God knows all of our hearts. God knows that, can see the good and the bad in all of our hearts. And God is wanting to make sure that we, all of us, have time to possibly bloom and being the kind of people that God desires all of us to be. And God, of course, has a special place in God's heart for the weeds, for the tares. God doesn't just love the wheat, but God also loves the weeds. He loves the tares. And so God cautions against any rush to uproot things that might cause more harm than good. You know, the story of the Bible is the story of this wonderful, beautiful garden. God creates this beautiful garden, this wonderful garden, and then right in the middle of it, there's there's evil, there's weeds. The Bible doesn't tell us how the weeds got there or why the weeds are there. We're just told that there's weeds, and the weeds grow along with everything else. The weeds continue to grow, and the weeds grow and grow, and so there's war and there's conflict and there's all kinds of things. And most of us say, well, why didn't God just uproot it? Why doesn't God do something about it? Why doesn't God get rid of the weeds? Why doesn't God get rid of the evil? Why doesn't God do something about it? Have you ever thought that? Why won't God do anything about it? Well, maybe if God did something about it, maybe none of us would be here. Maybe if God did something about it, it would mean all of our demise, because again, we all have a little bit of tear and weed in us. But God has already done something about it. God has sent his Son, our Lord, into the midst of our world to help us to grow into being the kind of wheat, the kind of people that God has called us to be. What God has promised us is that God has promised that one day God will deal with all the weeds. One day God will attend to the garden in such a way that everything that makes the garden such a diminished place to be will be taken care of. One day we are told that there's going to be no more tears. One day we are told there's going to be no more conflict. One day we are told there's going to be no more war. One day we are told that the wolf and the lamb will lie down together. The Bible doesn't say that God's going to get rid of the wolf. He says that the wolf and the lamb will lie down together. One day God's creation is going to be free from the futility under which it now labors. But God reminds us that in the meantime, judgment is not for you and me. We are not called to be judges. And we're not called to be executioners. We're not called to be able to fix things, because we don't know how to fix anything. The fixing belongs to God. God says God will take care of it in God's own time. But in the meantime, we are called to let the weeds and the wheat grow together, trusting that God will one day have God's way with God's garden. May we humbly and patiently wait for that time. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you this morning again for your graciousness, the graciousness that you have afforded to the whole world. Lord, we thank you for this world, this beautiful world that you have made, this beautiful garden. And we thank you for all of your people. Help us to recognize that we cannot make the world the place that we might want it to be through our own strength, through our own means. But you have promised us that one day you will get the kind of world that you want. And so we ask, Lord, that you continue to help us to be your people bearing witness to what that world will be. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen.